Upping its defenses against the impact of the pandemic is costing Liberty. The life insurance and asset manager has reported a normalized operating loss of 465 million rand from a previous 1.5 billion rand loss as it topped up its COVID-19 reserves by a further 1 billion. Stripping that cost out, though, normalized operating earnings would have come in at 652 million rand. And company CEO David Munro joins us now. Thanks so much, David, for your time this evening. So while you have returned to the black from an earnings perspective, topping up your 3 billion rand pandemic reserve set aside in the first half of 2020 after having already topped it up at the end of 2020 is costing you more. You say the last two waves of COVID-19 infections proved to be more severe than expected. Talk us through the reality versus the expectation.
Yeah, good evening, Alicia, and thank you for having me on the show. You know, I think when you look at these reserves and the money that we're setting aside to deal with this pandemic, we're always having to look forward and try and project what's going to happen. That, in a sense, is the power of creating these reserves, because it can demonstrate that we're setting aside the financial resources to meet our obligations. But at the same time, it means we have to try and make some kind of a quantification of what the impact could be. So if you look at where we were at the beginning of, at the end of June last year, we said we think that the pandemic will have an impact of around 3 billion for us. If you look at us now, we're saying that looking forward, we think that the pandemic needs another 1.5 billion rand odd for us. And it's the progression of that reserve that leads to these top-ups that you've spoken about.
Yeah, investors wondering at this point, David, are you being conservative, prudent, or aggressive here? I mean, especially as the vaccination rollout, takes hold and effect in South Africa, are you starting to see any reprieve, or is it just too early to tell?
It is too early to tell, Alicia, and this is the sort of devastating part of this pandemic, in that it is really, we're now in the heart of that third wave. Yes, we may see the number of infections actually having crested, and hopefully, you know, please, they are now falling and the wave is breaking. But those that were infected with the virus and that are still struggling with it, there's quite a long lag that leads to people actually passing away and the claim coming through for us. So the numbers that we've presented today that reflect the performance in the first half, really they absorb the impact of the second wave, mm-hmm. and they make provision for what we think is going to happen in the third and fourth waves. And we think by the end of the fourth wave, with the vaccination program as it's going, we think by then largely the impact of this pandemic should have been fully spoken about.
David, that more so related to your claims on account of death, right? What are we looking at when it comes to overall policy lapses, reduced contributions, drawing out of funds even, and that kind of interaction with your clients at this point?
No, the term that reflects that behavior in our client base is called persistency. And we've seen extremely strong persistency, which demonstrates, firstly, people that have taken out long-term life insurance policies with us recognize the value of those policies in times like this. And so we've seen people really commit to and stick to their obligations to pay their monthly premiums. And likewise, those that have got investments with us, all the investment product that we offer is long-term in nature. And again, we've seen people sticking to making those investments, recognizing that this is an uncertain world, and making sure that they are providing, even in these times, for that long-term goal that they've set for themselves. So actually, our collection rates and our persistency is very strong in the last 6 months.
I asked the question because just yesterday we were having a conversation right here, David, about Treasury's proposal as far as early withdrawals to pensions are concerned and, getting those out before retirement as a potential option to alleviate short-term pressure that the average South African is feeling right now. What's your take on that idea?
Yeah, it's something that we have to have a dialogue of, with the policymakers and as an industry and obviously with our community, because many people are desperate in these times. And, we have to recognize that when people are desperate, we have to try and help them. By the same token, we also can't mortgage our future. Mm. One of the great strengths of this country is its savings base, is its institutional investment capabilities, is the depth of its capital markets. And so we can't do things that will undermine that. And that requires us to preserve funds that have been invested for retirement so that we can make sure that people are looked after over the long period of time and that they actually are capable of looking after themselves. So there's a balance in this debate, and I'm sure we'll find a way to find that balance.
Well, amidst it all, David, you've been accelerating your digital transformation at the business. You've been improving sales momentum, you say. What kind of counterbalance is that providing right now, and how much momentum are you managing to garner in this environment of overall distress?
Yeah, look, we've had a very good first half when you look at the business volumes that we've written. And that represents our advisors going out there and speaking with their clients and working with new clients to make sure that their needs are being met. And I think that's a very healthy reflection on our society and on the advisor force that we have. Obviously, that's the key indication of activity in our business. And in a business like ours, it takes a long time for that activity to actually translate into profits. So one shouldn't be, call it, just look at our profit metrics to get a sense of the health of the business. Actually, for me, the strength of our client franchise is demonstrated by the volumes of new business that we've been writing. So I'm actually very heartened by that. And at the same time, we've been managing to invest in that digital transformation of our business. We've made tremendous progress in the first half of this year, actually releasing something called the Advisor Workbench, which is a platform-based piece of technology that really becomes the centerpiece to our ability to engage with our advisors and help them to engage with their customers. And for us as Liberty, to support those customers all on the single platform. It's a very exciting development in our digital path forward.
The former part of that, you know, that answer, David, is that how you're explaining the value of new business challenge that you highlight? Because you say while management, you know, has been focused on initiatives to address that, and while you are seeing volume, the volume versus value issue is one that that is potentially hindering at this point.
Yeah, it's such a difficult equation for us to square off, but you know, we're doing the first thing in that equation right, which is to get the volumes up. You cannot generate margin in a business like ours if you don't get the right volume growth. The next trick for us is to make sure that that volume growth translates into value, and you can see that in our margins. And the margins that we reported for the half year basically rounded off to zero. That doesn't mean it's zero profitability. It means we're not making a return above the cost of capital. It's a very important point to make. So there's actually a lot of value being created. It's just not in excess of our cost of capital. The next trick for us is to make sure that we widen those jaws, keep the volumes of business growing, and keep the cost base growing at a lower rate. If you open those jaws, the operating gear in a business like ours is immense, and we'll restore that value of new business, and margins will accelerate quite quickly.
Yeah, so what kind of targets have you outlined, David, as far as how far that jaw opens?
Well, you know, we actually withdrew our targets last year, Alicia, because we had set targets back in 2018 that would demonstrate what we said at the time, progress on the execution of our strategy, that by 2020 we would be generating a margin of the value in, you know, of new business at between 1 and 1.5%. Well, last year destroyed our ability to write new business, particularly in the first half. We started to see it recover in the second half, and that progress and that volume of business has continued to grow in the first half of this year. We've gone back and said, yeah, we're reestablishing that target range in margin terms of 1 to 1.5%. We're only at 0.2% in this first half, but we've set that target again for ourselves.
Well, let's leave it there, David. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, David Munro, who's CEO of Liberty.